Title: Low-End Mono Chicks, Using Session View Advanced. Alright, let's get serious about the part of drum and bass that decides whether your tune feels like a weapon or like a demo. The low end. In DNB, the sub, the kick fundamental, and that first harmonic have to survive real-world playback. And here's the thing people forget. A lot of club systems sum the lows to mono, and plenty of listeners are effectively hearing your bass in mono anyway. So if your low end falls apart when you hit mono, it's not a maybe problem. It's a guaranteed translation problem. In this lesson, we're going to build a fast, repeatable workflow in Ableton Live using Session View. The goal is quick-a/B comparisons in time, without wrecking your creative flow in arrangement view. You'll end up with a little mono check lab that you can reuse on every project. Let's do it. First, prep your project so you can experiment without fear. Go to File, Save Live Set As, and append something like underscore mono check to the name. This is your safe testing copy. Now hit Tab to jump into Session View. Before we add any fancy tools, set up a clean structure. You want at least three lanes or groups. One for drums, one for bass, one for music and FX. Even if you don't use groups, at least visually separate them so you can focus. And quick DNB specific note, keep your sub on its own track. If your sub is currently baked into some giant bass synth patch, duplicate that instrument and make a dedicated sub-layer. Your life gets easier instantly, especially for mono work. Now we'll build a reference lane, because if you don't level match, you will lie to yourself. Everyone does. Louder almost always sounds better, especially in the lows. Create a new audio track and name it REF. Drag in 2 to 4 reference tracks that actually fit your target vibe. If you're making rollers, grab a couple roller references. If it's neuro, grab neuro. Don't compare a minimal deep roller to a massive jump up master and then wonder why you feel bad. Make separate clips in Session View for each reference track. Label them clearly so you can switch fast. On the REF track, add utility. Set the gain to about -10 dB to start. Leave mono off for now. Then add a limiter after it, just as safety, sealing around -0.3 dB. We're not mastering here, we're just preventing surprise overs. Now you've got references ready to a/B in Session View without blowing your head off. Next, we build your one-click mono toggle on the master. This is your instant tell me the truth button. Go to the master track, add an audio effect rack and name it mono check. Inside the rack, create 2 chains. One chain is stereo normal. Leave it empty if you like, or put a utility at 0 dB just for symmetry. The second chain is mono full. Put a utility on it and turn mono on. If you want to be extra clear, set width to 0% too. Yes, mono on is already mono, but width at 0 makes the intention obvious when you come back later. Now open the chain selector in the rack. Set it so stereo plays from 0 to 63, and mono plays from 64 to 127. Map the chain selector to macro 1, and rename that macro mono toggle. Now, with one macro, you can flip the entire mix between stereo and full mono instantly. But we're not done. Because full mono is the brutal test. In actual mixing, the more practical everyday move is this: keep the tops wide, but force the sub region into mono. That's where the real translation disasters hide. So now we build a low band mono split. On the master, after that mono check rack, add another audio effect rack and name it LOW mono split. Make 2 chains. LOW mono and high stereo. On the LOW chain, at EQ8, turn on a low pass around 128C as a starting point. In DNB, a practical range is about 90 to 140 depending on the bass design and the kick. Use a steeper slope like 48 dB per octave if you want a strict split for checking. After that EQ, add utility. Turn mono on and set width to 0%. This is the no excuses zone. On the high chain, add another EQ8. High pass at the same frequency. Same slope, leave it stereo. Now, you're going to want to avoid a big level jump right at the crossover. If it suddenly feels louder or thinner when you engage the split, don't panic. Use a EQ8 output gain very subtly, like ±1 dB, just to get it consistent. We're not trying to redesign the mix here, we're trying to check it. Now map a macro, the easiest. Map the rack device on or off to macro 2, and name it low mono on slash off. So now you've got 3 key states you can access fast. Normal stereo, low band mono, and full mono. That's your monitoring truth system. Now we make Session View do what it does best. Performance style a/B testing. We're going to build a variant grid for kick and sub decisions, because DNB low end is often about choosing the best combination, not endlessly eking one bad combination. On your kick track, Take your main groove and make a 1-bar or 2-bar loop. Make sure it loops clean. Then duplicate that clip down the track into 3 to 6 slots. For each clip, create a kick variant. That could be a different sample, a different processing chain, or a different tuning. Name them clearly. Kick a punch. Kick B round. Kick C tighter 50 Hz. Whatever makes sense to you. Do the same on the subtrack. Make a 2-bar clip of the main bass phrase. Then duplicate into multiple slots. Sub a clean sign. Sub B sign with second harmonic. Sub C slightly saturated. Important detail. Make sure everything is warped correctly and starting exactly on the grid. Tiny clip start offsets will ruin this test, because you'll think you're hearing better punch when you're actually hearing a slightly different transient alignment or playback position. Also, don't casually use legato. Legato can be awesome when you mean it, but for testing you want consistency. If legato causes a clip to launch mid-phrase, you're no longer comparing the same moment. Now the magic. Put your kick clip and your sub clip on the same scene row so you can launch combos together. Scene 1 might be kick A plus sub A. Scene 2 might be kick A plus sub B. Scene 3 might be kick B plus sub B. And so on. Set global quantization to 1 bar. Half bar can work for tighter testing, but 1 bar keeps things musical and avoids accidental off-by-hair launches. Now you can /B low end like a DJ. Same groove, different low end architecture, instantly. Next, we add some visual confirmation tools, but we're not turning this into a science fair. It's ears first, tools second. On the master, after your mono tools, add spectrum. Set the block size to 4096 so the low end reads more steadily, and set averaging to medium or high. Also add tuner. Yes, tuner. It's an underrated move for DDNB, because it helps you confirm that your sub fundamental is stable and intentional. If you think you're writing an F but your bass is wobbling between notes because of modulation or a messy layer, the tuner will snitch instantly. And on your sub track itself, add utility and force width to 0%. This is not just checking on the master. This is making sure the sub source is truly mono. If there's chorus, unison, stereo distortion, or widening anywhere in the sub chain, this is where you catch it. Now let's talk about what you're listening for when you hit mono. When you engage LOW mono, your top stay wide, but the sub region is forced center. The question is, does the weight stay consistent? If the sub drops, hollows out, or feels like it's moving backward in the mix, you've got a phase problem or stereo information too low in frequency. If the kick loses punch in mono, it might be a phase relationship between kick and sub, or it might be that your low mids are doing something weird and wide. And here's a big one. Don't immediately reach for EQ when mono reveals a problem. Often the cause is upstream, like unison on the sub, layered subs that aren't phase aligned, or stereo processing before the split. So think like this. Mono doesn't create problems. Mono reveals them. Now let's tighten kick and sub quickly, in a session-friendly way. On the sub track, build a simple chain. Start with EQ8. High pass at around 20 to 30 Hz. This isn't about making it thin. It's about removing useless infrasonic rumble that eats headroom and makes you mix your room instead of the record. Then add saturator. Drive it 2 to 6 dB. Soft clip on. And compensate the output so it's roughly the same loudness when it's on and off. The goal is controlled harmonics so the bass reads on smaller speakers and at quiet listening levels. Then add a compressor with sidechain from the kick. Ratio around 4 to 1. Attack around 5 to 15 milliseconds, release around 60 to 140 milliseconds depending on tempo and groove. Aim for 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction. You want the kick to speak without the sub swallowing it, but you don't want that obvious pump unless that's your aesthetic. Now do your checking routine. Listen in normal stereo. Pick the vibe you like. Then engage LOW mono. Eliminate any option that loses weight. Then engage full mono. Eliminate any option that collapses, gets hollow, or turns into a different mix. And here are two extra coach moves that make this way more reliable. First, do your mono checks at two monitoring levels. At quiet, conversation level, you'll find out if your bass line is readable from harmonics and definition, not just brute sub volume. If it only works loud, you're probably leaning too hard on sub energy and not enough on the story of the bass in the low mids. Then check at a moderate level. Moderate is where the kick and sub interaction starts to feel physical, and you'll notice if the groove suddenly becomes inconsistent. Second, add a mono-safe audition point that ignores your room. On your monitor chain, not your export chain, put a high pass around 25 to 30 Hz. Just for checking. Now toggle mono again. If the entire groove changes dramatically when those infrasonics are removed, you are mixing the room rumble, not the record. Now, Advanced option if you want to go even deeper, a kick slash sub tining stanner. On the sub track, create a rock with two chains, one normal, one with a track delay offset. Map a macro called SUB offset from about minus 10 milliseconds to plus 10 milliseconds. Now, in full mono, slowly sweep that offset and listen for the moment where the kick, punch, and sub weight lock. You're not listening for maximum loudness. You're listening for maximum solidity, like the low end becomes one object. This is one of the fastest ways to fix that why does my drop feel smaller in mono issue without over-reaking everything. Now let's make session view even more powerful. Create test mode scenes. These are dummy scenes whose only job is to automate your checking states, not change the music. For example, one scene called test 1 mono low, one called test 2 full mono, one called test 3 mono plus low cut, like a high pass at 35 Hz, and one called test 4 small speaker. For the small speaker check, you can build a dedicated return or audio track called small. Put in a EQ that high passes around 120 Hz, a gentle boost around 1 to 2 kHz, maybe a small dip around 300 to 400 if it gets boxy, then a touch of saturator, and force it mono. The idea is, if your bass line disappears there, don't push the sub. Build harmonics in the mid-bass instead. Now, once you found a kick and sub combo that stays heavy in low mono and doesn't fall apart in full mono, it's time to commit without losing your work. Record your session performance into arrangement. Hit arrangement record, launch your chosen scenes, and record 16 to 32 bars. Then consolidate. Freeze and flatten if CPU is heavy. And consider printing a sub-print audio track, so you have consistent playback while you finish the mix. This is a very DNB way of working. Fast experimentation in session, then commit like an engineer in arrangement. Before we wrap up, here are the common mistakes to avoid, because these will waste hours. This audio version is shortened for playback.